This is the podcast of Cornerstone Presbyterian Church, EPC, for this date, Sunday morning, March 15, 2020. I am working today in an empty sanctuary due to coronavirus concerns. We are not meeting this week, but this podcast is intended as a ministry to assist those who could not come, wherever they may be, here at Cornerstone and otherwise, to worship the Lord on this day and in days to come. Let's pray together and let's invite the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. We do thank you for your matchless care of us, though we are not able to meet as one body physically together, face to face. I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you will minister to us through the ministry of this podcast. Pray that you will help me as I would work in playing and praying and reading and preaching your word. Pray you will bless all of us who listen, that we might receive blessing from your good hand. We thank you, and I invite your presence in a special way in this podcast and in the fruit that will be born as a result of its dissemination. We pray these things, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we come to our morning pastoral prayer and to the reading and preaching of God's Word, for your opportunity to worship and to reflect and to commune with God, here is a piano solo entitled, "Moment by Moment, I'm Under His Care." We come now to our time of morning prayer as the believing people of God, assembled wherever we may be today, know that this is the confidence from Scripture that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we ask according to His will, no matter what we have asked, we know that we have the thing that we have asked of Him. So let us come boldly now to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Pray with me, please. Our Father, we are grateful again to worship in this way today. We thank you for the wonder of technological advance that allows us to record and to upload and to disseminate and to download, that we can get ministry when we have the providential hindrances that we have regarding large-scale assemblies just now. Lord, you are perfect in all that you are. You're infinite in all that you are. We praise you for your person, for who you are, your three-personed one God. And we also praise you for your deeds, for what you do. We praise you for how these things are for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, we thank you for who you are and praise you for the same, both in your person and in your works. We ask that you will continue to show us mercy and forgive us of our sins which we have committed against you. And, alas, against others. We pray that you will forgive us to the uttermost. Make us, by your Spirit, in conformity with your word, willing and by thy power able to forgive others when they sin against us. We pray, Lord, to know the gospel promise that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath you removed our transgressions from us. Thank you for such a good word in your word. We give you thanks for blessings received this week, your provision for us, your protection of us, how the lines have fallen to us in pleasant places where they have. We give you thanks for all that you have done for us, and we give you thanks for calamities, disasters averted when they have been averted. We thank you for this. Lord, we may be in a position where we may bemoan our situation, bewail our circumstances. Nevertheless, Lord, it could be far more dire than it is. And because it isn't more dire than it is, we thank you for that. Lord, please hear our petitions which we make unto you. We pray for the sick. We pray for the sick, the injured, and the weakened in our body here at Cornerstone EPC, but also everywhere, in particular, those who are afflicted with the coronavirus and have set up respiratory symptoms, some of those severe. We pray for your power to heal. We know that many times you choose to work in through intermediate means, through the use of medicine, through the use of surgeries, through the consultations of doctors and nurses and others. And we thank you for what can happen. Oh, how much you've given us to do. But Lord, still, we know that you work above and beyond these means, and you still do things that are truly miraculous. And so we pray where it need be for miraculous healing, that you may be glorified, that you may compel attention, and that you may gain in the hearts of many a hearing for the gospel. We pray for those who mourn today, whether loss of loved one due to disease or accident or other cause. Lord, we pray also for those who have mourned for a long time and yet this week feel an acute flare-up of an old grief. And I pray that you would comfort, for you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Thank you for this. Lord, where there is need of material provision, I pray you will supply it. Where there is need, O Lord, today of guidance from your hand, which way to go, I pray that they will have it. Where there is need of restoration of relationship and reconciliation, I pray that that will happen. I pray for families, Lord, that you would not let husbands and wives tear asunder from one another. I pray that families will not be fractured. Pray that you would uphold families and churches intact. Lord, there may be those who are struggling in some way against sin, whether it be of a substance misuse or whether it be an issue in sexuality and relationships, whether it be, Lord, a difficulty with improper use, even sinful use of money and resources, whatever it is, for whoever's struggling, call them to Christ if need be. Assure the Christian who is erring in these ways of your favor, and by your Spirit, lead to repentance and to forsaking of these things. And not just these things, but any sin, Lord. We pray in our time that you would halt the spread and remove the coronavirus and its allied symptoms from our midst. You are the great physician. You can heal at a word. It could be banished, never to return, never to afflict. And folk who are afflicted now could be instantly well. And I pray that you would do as you see fit. But we pray for a swift and sure removal of this scourge from our midst at this time. We thank you today for those who would lead us in this time. We thank you for our president, O Lord, who would call for a day of prayer over this today. And so we comply. Gladly we do. And we pray for our federal government. We pray for our president and vice president and executive branch. We pray for our houses of Congress. And we pray for our Supreme Court. We pray for the governor of this state who has issued an executive order to curtail large meetings to include many a worship service to inhibit the spread of this virus. And we pray that you would lead him by your Spirit and the lieutenant governor and all in state executive. We pray for both branches of our state house, and we pray for our state Supreme Court. We pray for our local officials as well here, the Board of Commissioners, the mayor of our city, the Board of Aldermen. Pray that you would bless our government so we may live peaceable and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, for such pleases you. You have said so in your word. We pray that you will bless us now as we hear your word read and proclaimed. Bless me as I read it and proclaim it, that none of the words uttered here shall fall to the ground. We pray that it will be on target from you, accurate in content, and with the appropriate unction, even charisma, in the Holy Spirit, to the end that your word, sharper than any two-edged sword, would sweetly pierce our hearts today and take root and bloom and produce a crop far beyond what is sown for your glory and for our good. We pray the whole in Jesus' name. Amen. No surprise to any of you this week. It is certainly no surprise to me in conversations and in viewing and hearing the news outlets that the coronavirus issue is the issue this week in America, and it's the issue in our world. Now, obviously, this pandemic has led in some quarters to outright panic, a concern which, though considerable in this case, is even beyond what is right for this. Outright panic in some quarters, but also serious and justifiable concern from nearly all. And this is a week unlike just about any that I can remember in my lifetime, and I am now a few months past half a century. Consider the cancellation wholesale of sporting events and suspension of seasons. The NCAA, for example, the National Collegiate Athletics Association, has canceled the men's national basketball tournaments. So there will be no March Madness this year in order to curtail the spread of the virus. The National Basketball Association has suspended its season for a time, professional basketball. The National Hockey League has done the same for ice hockey. Major League Baseball has suspended spring training and has said that the onset of the regular season is somewhat delayed. It's not a week like any that I can remember having. We have temporary travel bans in place. Our president issued an order this week banning travel from the European mainland, save American citizens trying to return home for the next 30 days. And that ban, I understand, may well be expanded to include the United Kingdom this week. We have temporary bans on large assemblies, so I don't imagine we'll be having very many large-scale music concerts. I don't imagine that we will be having any large stadium or arena-size events of any sort. More than this, we have temporary closings of schools and churches. Our governor issued an executive order last night closing the K-12 schools in North Carolina for the next 2 weeks to be reevaluated near the end of that time. Churches that expect to have 100 or more attendance on Sunday morning, or who cannot safely provide 6 feet of space between individuals or household units, are not to meet. This is a week not like any scene. More than that, we must continue to endure the volatility of the financial market. If you find yourself faint of heart or skittish or worried about that sort of thing, I would advise you not to look at the financial reports for a while. On Thursday, the markets gave away close to 10% of their market value. On Friday, they gained back 9%. On Thursday, we had the largest single day point dip in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. On Friday, we had, I think, the biggest one day gain in the history of the market. So it's a very wild ride right now. As I've said and continue to say, this is a week quite unlike any that I can recall. And maybe the same is true for you. Happily, God has a word for us for this season, and it is the title of today's sermon, The Cure for Anxious Times and Souls. It is a welcome word. It is a word that has been speaking to my soul for well over 30 years, and I pray it will to yours today. It is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Here is the Word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is God's Word, inspired, inscripturated, infallible, and inerrant. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in addition to all these things we've said about your Word, we pray now that you will illumine the sacred text in thy light, for in thy light shall we see light. We pray to see what you have for us to see and hear what you have for us to hear. And we pray with all we have and all that we are, embrace you once again as you condescend to minister to us from your holy word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 'Tis a four-part, or maybe if you will, a four-dose remedy for anxious times and anxious souls. They all rise out of the text. So, first, rejoice. And you say, how can I rejoice? More on that in a minute. But don't just rejoice generally or rejoice on improper basis. Rather, we are told here from the text, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in His person. Rejoice in who He is. Perfect in every way. Sovereign. In full control. Even in what appears to be a highly chaotic time, if that's not a redundancy. He is still in control. We have said around here for years and years, and I've said it in other places before coming to Franklin, North Carolina, there is nary a ripple on the crystal sea in glory today. Everything is somehow under the smooth, wonderful, strong providence of God. So rejoice in His person and rejoice in His works. I imagine it would be very hard to rejoice over the pandemic, but there are a lot of things over which we can rejoice. And sometimes we have so much concern over the things that do plague us, we forget to praise Him and to rejoice in Him. And do this always. Do this in seasons convenient. Do this in seasons obvious. But also do it in seasons where it's not so convenient and where there appears to be no outward earthly reason. If you don't have a reason in your circumstance, you've still got a God who loves you, who has redeemed you in Christ Jesus by faith. And as a result of that, we have cause for rejoicing in the worst of circumstances. Now, when God wants to emphasize a thing, He repeats it. And so He leads the Apostle Paul here to repeat it. Again, I will say, rejoice. Even today, even in the week that was, and what a week it was, we have cause for rejoicing in our great triune God, the one, the only, the true God, forever to be worshipped and adored. First step, first part of the cure, rejoice. Second part of the cure continues into verse 5. Be reasonable according to the ESV. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Now, if you look at other translations, you may be looking at another one as you have read along in your place today. And these translations are all over the map. And there's a reason for that. We have a very fluid Greek noun, epieikes, translated here in the ESV, reasonableness. So I went looking this week in particular, as I did word study, for the nuances of this word, and we have several. There's an element, if you will, which we have in our English word, reasonableness, the Greek epieikes. There's a nuance or a sense of gentleness. Not to be harsh, but to be gentle. Let your gentleness be known to all. Also, there's an element of graciousness, a sense of long-suffering. Forbearance is another word I was going to say here. Gentleness, graciousness, forbearance. Let these be known to all in these anxious times, even if you have anxious soul. Display these to all men, to all women, to all boys and all girls. After all, we read at the end of the verse, the Lord is at hand. My wooden translation this week, the Lord is near. He's close. He's very close. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother because He dwelleth in me by His Spirit. He's nearer to me than my own skin. And He's nearer to you, O dear believer, in Jesus Christ. So we may be reasonable. And we have to display this to everyone we meet. So there's the second thing. Here's the third thing. And most folk think this is the big action step here. Don't forget any of the others, I would say, but yes, this one's plenty big. Give what's troubling you to God. Third thing to do. We are told here, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious about nothing. I submit to you that there is nothing natural about that. It must be supernatural. It must come from on high. But He can bring it. We'll talk about what happens when He does momentarily. We all have from time to time apprehensions about possible danger or possible misfortune that may befall us in some future time. And this gives us over to anxiety. And we may have trouble defining that, but we all know what it feels like. And we are told here to be anxious for nothing. We may do this. Resist by God's grace giving over to such anxious concern. Sometimes we feel like the dread, the potential misfortune is so strong that we cannot resist very well. The Lord knows our frame. Resist in Him to the utmost. And I need to preach this to my own soul. If we had a mirror we could drop down in the back of the sanctuary, I would point at my reflected self and say the same thing right here. Resist by God's grace, giving over to such anxious concern. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. In essence, we're not going to preach that text while we're preaching this one, but in essence, do not worry about what you will eat, and do not worry about what you will wear. God feeds the sparrows, and we are worth more than many sparrows. God clothes the grass, which is here today, and tomorrow's thrown into the oven. Yet not Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of those out in the field. Will he not much more clothe us, O we of little faith? This is what we're supposed to do when confronted with this. Seek we first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to us as well. We are not to worry ourselves over tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I can't go back to yesterday, and I can't get to tomorrow until tomorrow comes. This moment is what I have, and it's what you have. So let us be anxious by God's grace about less, and I pray in time about entirely nothing. But at those places where we are concerned, we have apprehension about danger, misfortune, and the like, in everything, bring the thing to God, omitting nothing. Do not make the mistake, beloved, thinking that whatever it is you're bringing to Him is too big for Him to handle. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do, goes an old gospel song. And it's true. He can handle anything. He's got the whole world in His hands. It's one of the first things that I sang to my newborn children when it was time to put them down to sleep for the night. He's got the whole world in His hands. And it's still true. Don't make the reverse error, however. Do not think that your concern is so small that God does not notice it. Not only can He handle things to infinite degree, He notices things to infinitesimal degree, to smaller than we can handle. And viruses are among the smallest of all the creatures. He can handle that. And He can handle the small thing or the thing that you think small in your life as well. Bring the thing to Him. Don't make this error either. Do not think that He will not move in your life because He is ill-disposed toward you. If you be a believer in Christ Jesus, if He has regenerated your soul, if He has made you once dead alive in Christ, then the last thing He is toward you is ill-disposed. Oh, we may be enduring a fatherly chastisement or a temporal judgment to bring us to sweet repentance based on godly sorrow, but He is not ill-disposed toward you. On the contrary, He who did not spare His own Son, but graciously gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? He is wondrously favorably disposed to us, more than we can comprehend at this present phase of our existence. So bring it to Him. Do not think that it is so big He can't handle it. Don't think that He is so small He cannot notice it. Do not think that He is withholding because He's ill-disposed toward you. At the right time, in the right way, He will bring it, but He is highly favorably disposed to you. Now, when you bring it by prayer, our usual address to God, it says here, by prayer and supplication. Woodenly on that word supplication, I translated plea this week. Asking with urgency, even as applied to humans, on the basis of demanding. We make no demand of God, but we do come to Him with urgency. And we are taught from the parable of the midnight visitor that we are to come audaciously, boldly. And we are taught from the parable of the persistent widow that we are to come with persistence, even if initially rebuffed. We are to come and to keep coming. Thus, let your needs be known to God, your requests. Let them be made known to God. As if He needs us to inform Him of what we need. He knows infinitely better than we what we need. But by the same token, He would hear it from us. And so let us do that. That's the third thing. So far, we are told to rejoice in the Lord. We are told to let our reasonableness, gentleness, graciousness, forbearance be known to all men. Third, we are to give what's troubling us to God. And look what comes forth. Receive the Lord's peace. And the peace of God, and so forth. This peace from God is not as the world gives. We think of what the world gives as maybe a relative absence of hassle in our lives, maybe a relative lowering of internal turmoil and cogitation and churning of our souls. Jesus Himself said, "Peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." When the Lord gives us His peace, His inner tranquility and calm, it is not as the world gives, which comes and goes, but this is deep set and it's founded, grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Moreover, it surpasses all human capacity for understanding. I simply cannot fathom His peace when He brings it. I cannot understand it fully. I probably cannot explain it fully. But I can sure experience it to the full in this life and supremely to the full in the life to come. And perhaps Christians who have together experienced it can have some level of understanding of it together. But it passes all understanding. We can't get around how vast it is. We can't get down to how deep it is. We can't get to how in the world it can possibly be bearing and reigning in our lives in such a circumstance as we find ourselves. This peace, moreover, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It is almost like the shield of faith that we talked about last week from Ephesians 6. It will quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And here's another fiery dart from him, this anxiety. And there is his peace, guarding our hearts and our minds. Guarding our inner man against this attack of the evil one. Therefore, we are delivered from inner turmoil, which we maybe had at the start of this podcast, into tranquility, which I pray is coming and will deepen as it goes along. So doubtless, we have a number of worries this week. Does the coronavirus and its associated ills worry you? It's okay if it does at this point. We know where to go with it. What else worries you? Do you have another health worry? Perhaps it's a heart issue or a cardiovascular issue. Perhaps it's another major organ issue. Perhaps it's an athletic injury that is not healing well. Perhaps it is any number of things that are affecting your outer, your physical man or woman. And you have worries about that. Do you have financial or material worries. Do you wonder how you're going to get to the next paycheck or to the end of the month? Do you wonder if your accumulated savings are going to make it to the end of your life, that you may have something to leave to those who will be left when you have departed for glory? Do you have worry that the fluctuation is eating away at your respective nest egg in the market? Do you have these worries? Do you have relational worries? Do you, young men, wonder if that young lady of interest to you will respond favorably to your attention to her? Or do you, young lady, wonder if that guy will even notice you? Do you worry about how things are going in your relationship in marriage or with your children, with other members of your family? Do you worry about relations at work or at school, among friends, among others you may meet and know? Do you find yourself worried about some other dreaded possible outcome to a set of circumstances in your life? And you can put just about anything here. Do you worry? I find ours is an anxious culture, and possibly has been an anxious culture. Oh, mercy, I'd have a hard time thinking. I was about to say the post-World War II time. But certainly World War II was an anxious time, and certainly the Great Depression was an anxious time before that. So I don't know how long this goes back in our culture. But we have help from the Word of God today. So don't forget those helps. Even in the midst of those worries, rejoice in God, who is bigger than the worries, and He's bigger than however big we can puff up and inflate those worries. Rejoice in Him. He's got it. I don't have to have it. I don't have to have the ability to handle it because He has it. And therefore, I can rejoice in Him. I can also let my gentle, gracious forbearance of adversity be known to all, and you can too. Not naturally, but supernaturally through the strong work of the Lord via His Spirit in our lives. Give, third, what worries you to God, and keep giving it to Him. Certain things, when wet, become sticky. Cotton is one of them. There may be other things out there. And sometimes it feels like when I give the worry to God, it's sticky. It clings to me just a bit. Oh, may He take it from us. Let us give to Him, and may He take from us those things that worry us. The upheaval in our culture exploded this week. And in our world, give that to Him. And give everything else that worries you to Him. And receive, beloved of God in Christ, receive through the secret work of the Spirit His precious peace, which passes all understanding, which will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. This is God's wonderful prescription for our disorder today. Anxious times and anxious souls. This is His prescription. This portion, along with all the rest of His Word. May He encourage us and strengthen us and give us, in exchange of anxious times and anxious souls, joy, gentleness, emptying of worry to God, and His deep-set precious peace. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity again to read and proclaim Your Word, and I thank You for the opportunity to consider these truths again at ever-deepening levels over life. And Lord, I thank You for all who are here. I pray that You will bless them in the hearing, that they may understand, that You may do a work by Your Spirit, removing the anxieties, and Lord, replacing them with joy and with gentle, gracious, forbearing reasonableness, and with the ability to continue giving the thing worrisome to You. And I pray that You'll set down that deep-set peace for us all, which is part of our new birthright in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with a precious hymn suitable for the time. Most people know it as Like a River Glorious. Some know it as Stayed Upon Jehovah. But it is a precious, precious hymn. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Those who find, trust Him wholly, find Him wholly true. May these words from the hymn and other such thoughts and impressions and scriptures as the Lord may give you as I play, bless your soul in this hymn. Receive you one and all listening this good word from God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.